to and really welcome Ciara Ní Quirc, and she's an Irish writer, playwright, young one, came here some 8 years ago at age 23, but she already had, a lot of experience and a lot of, notoriety in terms of her plays, right? A lot about immigration, but her newest play. Oh, by the way, I think we've found her on the phone line here.
Yes, hey. I'm here. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how are you doing? Okay.
I'm good.
Okay, so take us back to, again, to 2013. You were doing very well in Ireland. You, again, had made tremendous headway already as a writer, as a playwright. So what got into you to leave it all behind and come to New York?
Yeah, I don't know. I always had wanted to live in New York. And right after I graduated from Trinity in 2012, I kind of fell straight into working in Ireland. But the whole time New York was kind of in the back of my head. And up to a year after you graduate in Ireland, you can get a visa to come to New York for a year. Mm-hmm. So just once I was getting towards the end of that year, I felt like that deadline was looming. And I said, look, I'll go. I'll see how it goes. If it's terrible, I can always come back to Ireland. But it's worked out. I've been here 8 years.
Now, you became an American citizen there a couple of years back. And how do you reconcile your Irishness with your Americanness, so to speak?
I don't know. It's kind of a weird one because I've been here. I mean, now I technically am an American. And I don't know. I feel like it's something I'm constantly struggling with, basically. And especially when I'm writing about it, because I spent a long time writing plays that were about America and set in America, and then ended up writing this play, Made by God, which is set in Ireland and about Ireland. And it felt, I feel more distance from Ireland writing it, almost, even though I'm writing it as an Irish woman.
The play, which is opening on the 17th, your world premiere, is called Made by God, at the Irish Repertory Theatre, again, opening on the 17th. It's a play, really, that many will say, you know, it brings back a tragic story. One, from not that long ago. But it was one that made a huge difference in the seminal national debate on women giving birth outside marriage. Now, it's not a biopic, or is it?
No, it isn't. I feel like when I was writing the early drafts of it, I was trying to write a biopic, but I kept running into a wall of just no one really knows why Anne Lovett did what she did. And by inventing kind of a fictionalized story around it, it's about an American podcaster who goes to Ireland to make a podcast about the Anne Lovett story. I was able kind of to access it more because I felt like I wasn't forcing my perspective on it, and I wasn't trying to say, here's why Anne Lovett did what she did. I was able to use other characters and say there's multiple theories about why she did what she did, and ultimately we don't really know.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, pregnancy and birth of a baby outside of marriage, you know, in Ireland, at that time, you know, was scandalous, it was shameful, it was everything, but I think it did wake up Ireland, and it brought about something that has resulted. And how did that play into you know, when you were writing this about what is a very hot topic in the United States and one, you know, that pro-choice, pro-life debate is so relevant in the United States right now, was, you know, with the Roe versus Wade, you know, from the Irish context, tell us, you know, with the referendum on the Eighth Amendment in very recent history.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's interesting being here and seeing how people debate abortion here, because it is very much about pro-life versus pro-choice. But I think really what it's about is whether abortion should be legal. And I think it doesn't really matter if you're pro-life or pro-choice, because if it's legal, that doesn't make it mandatory. Like, that's my perspective on it. And you can still be pro-life. You only have to get an abortion if you want to. But, it is such a complicated thing. And definitely in Ireland, during the referendum, it just got so vicious between the two sides.
Mm.
And I feel like that's kind of what's starting to happen here as well.
Yeah. Now, it was... it was a shock to a lot of us, and indeed to Irish Americans in particular, and to those that Ireland, the island of saints and scholars, would come to the fore, in the debate, not only in the debate, but the referendum, pretty much, set a standard not accepted, pretty much anywhere in Europe, or for that matter, in the Western Hemisphere. How did that influence? How did you interpret that that particular thorny issue, and relate that to what was going on here?
So the play is set in 2018, before the referendum in Ireland. So, I mean, the two main characters are an American woman and an Irish man who have very different views on the referendum. So I feel like that's how it relates to the debate here, because it is the same debate, really. I mean, there isn't a referendum coming up here, but, you know, the Supreme Court are going to make a decision in May that could get rid of Roe v. Wade. So I feel like a lot of people are having these conversations now.
Mm. Now, tell us, actually, as you see it, the story of Anne Lovett. Some of us are, some of us, particularly those who are a bit long on the tooth, will remember the... horrific story, the mystery of Anne Lovett. She was 15.
Yeah, she's 15, and on January 31st, 1984, she was full-term pregnant, and she went to the Grotto of Our Lady in Granard, which is in Longford, and gave birth outdoors, and she and the baby died. And ever since it happened, the whole town, everyone has denied that they knew she was pregnant. They've denied knowing anything about it, and they've always refused to speak about it.
If you examine that, how, you know, one of the questions that arises, starting backwards, working backwards, is, all right, so who is the father? How did this happen? Was that an issue, or was the tragic event itself, did that overshadow, any of the investigations, as far as you know?
As far as I know, they've never confirmed who was the father. They don't know. They never did a DNA test on the baby. And with the play, I tried, especially when dealing with Anne's part of the story, I tried to just use the facts for that, and it's the fictionalized characters who have opinions on that, but it's always been shrouded in mystery, and it's just, I guess that's why I'm fascinated with it, and I think a lot of people are too, because of that. We just don't know.
Yeah. So it begins on the 17th of March. It is the world premiere. And how do you think, for instance, that those who are, you know, now experiencing and getting wrapped in your play will be, you know, be able to reconcile that with their own either fears or doubts or again, particularly since the story seems to be tied into the whole issue of pro-choice and or not. How do you leave us with more questions than answers?
I mean, hopefully it makes people question their own beliefs and how they interact with other people. That's the ideal. But I feel like what I'm trying to leave people with is that I feel, especially in America, because there's two huge political parties and people are very siloed by them, I think you have to be very resolved in certain beliefs. But I do think we need to do a better job of trying to understand the other side. And I think that's ultimately what the play is about.
Mm-hmm.
Two people who are on these extremes who come to a kind of understanding between each other.
Yeah, and again, you know, you do point out that, again, with the referendum in Ireland, it wasn't as if this was slid, you know, under, you know, just a decision that was there with fierce opposition. And indeed, you know, again, because it wasn't, you know, it brought in again the separation of church and state, and God knows we know plenty about that here.
Yeah,
Were you in Ireland at that time? I'm kind of getting foggy about when.
No, I wasn't in Ireland, but it just was so, you know, it was the only thing people were talking about. Me and my friends were talking about, so it just felt like it was all you could think about for months.
Yeah. Would the reaction be, let's say, could you fit the reaction to that into general age groups, the older people who, you know, in aging, people who, you know, people like myself, who would say, we never thought we'd see the day, or who thought for a minute that this could ever happen in Holy Ireland? And for that matter, when you relate that to what was going on here, the Roe versus Wade, the threat to that, and it is a real threat as to the outcome of that. Similarities?
I think it's interesting because, you know, Roe versus Wade just had its 49th anniversary, so I feel like we're a whole generation removed from Roe, whereas in Ireland, you know, like, Savita Halappanavar died in my lifetime, and there was these stories of women dying because they were denied abortions that were such recent history, whereas here, I feel like there's no recent history like that, so people are more removed from it, and that's why this is happening, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, it'll be interesting, and if we go by any reviews, you know, or critical, the critics seem to have a great joy in giving you credit for the variety of plays that you have, you know, that you're responsible for. Tell us a little bit about, though, when you're here. And, for instance, you know, the developing your plays with various theaters, but coming here to New York, and the Philadelphia University of the Arts, Dublin Festival. You have your play, of course, at the Origin Theatre Company, and and then a return to the Irish Rep in New York. How, what is the difference as a writer, as somebody who's perfected the art of writing through the highest levels of education, specifically, you know, geared to, you know, help along the art? What's, what did you find overall on the changes, or was it pretty much the same, you know?
I definitely think in doing an MFA it really helped me, like, just become a better writer, and really, like, I feel like the MFA was very focused on structure and, like, what makes a good play, and yeah, it's also, I think, the fellow students as well. I just had a really good cohort who were able to give me wonderful notes, and we were all able to support each other. But I think, it, yeah, it depends on the person and depends on the class.
Yeah. Again, I we're delighted, of course, that you are being here. Now, your experience in Columbia University and your further education, are you nearly finished with that, or is this something that is so ongoing that you're glued, you know?
I think I'm nearly finished. I love, like, classes and taking part in workshops and labs and things like that, so I always jump at opportunities like that, but I also feel like I'm never going to be a perfect writer, you know. I'm always going to be refining it and working on my craft, as they say.
Yeah, well, okay, it's, you know, that brings us back to the Irishness of self-praise is no praise. But anyway, let me tell you, we are looking forward to having, and seeing your world premiere of Made by God again. From the 17th of February at the Irish Repertory Theatre, irishrep.org.